Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome to Christ's Blessing on this 19th day of July. We are moving into the height of summer, and I hope that it is blessing all of you with lovely sunshine and fair weather, except, of course, for those of you who are in the southern hemisphere, and I'm wishing you a lovely winter day. So we are joined around the world, and we bring to each other our shared and diverse experiences. That's one of the things I just love about the work that I do, is how many people it reaches all over the world. And people of not just different cultures, but sometimes different beliefs, different religions, because the blessings and the life of Christ are pretty universally accepted and cherished by anyone who is devoted to their own spiritual growth and enlightenment and the discovery of their relationship, or at least the improvement of their relationship to their heavenly source, their creator. So we come together in a spirit of love, in the spirit of joining and celebrating our union. For me, it just makes the union all the more special that we are including the whole planet. So I would love it if anyone would like to sign on and ask for a blessing, or offer your gratitude for blessings received. All are welcome. The login is *61, and that will take you on the board. Good afternoon, Tony. I see you're there, and I'm so glad.
I had been muted, sorry. Hi there, Glenda.
Hi.
Yeah, nice to connect with you. Wonderful to be on the call with everybody. We are actually traveling. We had a very graceful and easy trip up here to Portland to help our oldest child move to Portland from San Jose. So that went really smoothly. I'm very grateful for the the blessing of a safe and easy trip. Mm-hmm. That was it went much smoother than I imagined it would. We have a new moon that's about to happen. That's going to be tomorrow. We'll have a new moon in Cancer, and that will be in the late degrees of Cancer. So it's going to be opposite to Saturn exactly. So Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter are all conjunct right now, and you can see that in the sky. It's getting earlier in the evening, Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter, and we'll have a new moon tomorrow afternoon. It'll be exact.
That's great. That'll refresh some of our feelings. I think we've all gotten a little stagnant on, when will this be over? So a little refreshment would be welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it's certainly going to move us into a new phase. And we also have a bright comet that is in the sky. It's been visible in the morning, like at 5 a.m., but now it's going to be visible, I think, starting this week in the evening sky. So I don't know exactly where, but it would probably be somewhere in the western sky after sunset. I heard that on the 22nd, we're going to be able to see it in the evening sky, and it's bright, so naked eye, and so it'll be about 5 degrees. Yeah, but it's about the same size as your fist held at arm's length, and so it's going to be, should be spectacular to see. So that's very interesting. That's a sign from God that that it's an indication of things shifting around, and those kinds of sights in the sky are very, very rare. We haven't had one nice bright comet like this for decades.
That's true. That's true. So I'll be looking for it. You say it will be visible all of this week.
No, starting about the 22nd. So it's
22nd.
Going to be,
okay.
It's probably going to be visible for at least a week or more once it starts. And so what I read about a week ago was on the 22nd, we should be able to see it in the evening sky. And right now,
okay,
what is it? It's the 19th. So that's only 3 days from now. So we'll all have to be looking and see when we can spot it.
Okay. Okay. I may call you for instructions.
Okay. I'll be looking forward to it, too.
Be blessed in your trip, in your journey, and give our best to your family. And you brought up your comets on your trip, brought up comets and comets. Kind of fit in the same sentence, but they are different. It brought up an interesting thought and something I've been wanting to mention on the blessing call for a long time. So now, before it slips by, I will mention it. As I've said many times before, the blessing you receive may not materialize for a while. It may not materialize until the change is ready to happen according to other configurations in your environment. In other words, sometimes blessings are impeded by the lack of opportunity or the lack of help or the lack of coinciding other factors that will be moved forward in your life, and then you will see it. So the fact that you don't get the blessing immediately is not something to just become discouraged about. But the other thing about it is that I have noticed, ever since I've been doing this, is that the giving and receiving of blessings tends to lower resistance in the environment, resistance in you, resistance around you, so that whatever you do flows just a little better. Everything falls into place just a little better. There's less things that go wrong, more things that go right. You get to where you're going easier, faster, and with a little more accomplishment. And so the fact that you said your trip went easily, I was saying, yeah, that's exactly what most blessings feel like. And the thing is, when we can move from point A to point B, whatever that is, with less resistance and more things supporting our needs and desires and achievements, we have an opportunity to accelerate our actions and our thoughts to the point where we get exactly what we're going for. So sometimes just the lowering of resistance is all it takes for us to get the very thing we need and want and desire. So I thought that was a good, possibly accidental comment on your part, Tony, that it served to open up realizations for other people. So
yeah.
Thank you, and continue in your good journey and good realization. I see Jerome's on the call. Hello, Jerome. I hope everything's going well in your life.
Yes, it is. And thank you for everything you were encouraging us to do with what you just said now. That just sounded fantastic. So blessings to everybody in our family. And we've got three children and grandchildren and all kinds of things, but it'll all work, and it all works to be with you and to hear you and to take it into my heart and my spirit. So blessings with myself and
right.
my family, and blessings with you
right.
and everything you're doing, and I just send you that light, love, and peace and joy that you always give to all of us. So,
thank you, Jerome. And the same to you. And whatever you do, do it with the least amount of resistance possible.
I will do it with the least amount of resistance.
Because let's face it, if you've got to do it, you've got to do it.
Yeah,
you
know, I think we
all were there recently with the deadline due on taxes. Okay,
yeah.
A few people have said there are only a couple of things you can't get around. One is debt and the other is taxes.
Yeah.
So that brings up a really, really good example for us. If you got to do it with the least amount of resistance. You know, you got to go to the doctor, get a shot. Okay. Just be thinking about climbing that mountain in the high Himalayas, and it's all over before you know it. Okay?
Will be. Thank you. And
I love you, too. Good advice from the good doctor.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, Jerome. I bet you had a lot of low-resistance protocols worked out for the kids you treated.
Okay.
Sarah, you're on. Hello.
Aloha, Glenda, and this beloved community. This is Sarah, and I just want to say this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And I just felt such amen. I just had my birthday, and I just have this thing where I know I'm meant to cultivate joy in me and joy for the world, and I'm taking it on and declaring that, affirming that in my community. And that doesn't mean there's no struggle or strife or pain. That is part of it. And the joy, that joy can still be there with those things. And I'm here to affirm that.
And actually, that is, joy is one of the great secrets of life and the great secrets of enlightenment.
Yeah.
It does not come from external conditions. Happiness is usually a result of external conditions. Now, we can complement it with how we feel inside, yes, for sure, by being grateful and sharing. Mm. And so happiness is kind of, a complementary thing, a matching grant, if you will. But it usually requires something on the outside. Somebody brings over our favorite dessert, and we go, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. You know, and the joy wells up also. But the thing is, joy doesn't need the outside world.
Yeah.
And this is what so many people have discovered in prison, in the death camp, in hospice, in just before a serious and major surgical event, in a serious social or family predicament, they find the joy within. And the magic thing about joy is it lowers resistance. And it builds faith. So many times I have told you about faith, and we talk about it as the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not yet seen.
Ooh.
Well, is that not what joy also is?
Yes.
Joy is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen.
Ooh. Wow. Yes. And the not taking any of it for granted, actually appreciating
gratitude.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, if you want to look up that quote in the Bible, it's actually in the Bible. It's Hebrews 11:1, and that whole scripture is about faith and the anatomy of faith. I think that's a very, very important subject for all of us to understand, especially with what we're going through in the outside world, because we cannot find, we're not going to find our special experience in the outside world right now. We're going to find it in the inside world or in the habitat that we have cultivated around ourselves, which is safe to bring our family and friends into. And we cocoon in our habitat, and we find these special graceful moments. So it's a great time for meditation and prayer, for reading, thoughtfulness, catching up on creative work, and cleaning house. I would suggest everyone, really, seriously, I would suggest this for everyone, that you make a list of all the things you have abandoned, let go, let slide, because you were so involved in situations of the outside world, either problem situations or achievement situations or celebration situations or maybe even grieving situations. Now, you're on the inside. But let me tell you, folks, the greatest thing about you is on the inside. So we can wonder and perhaps even guess and speculate, is this possibly a gift from God telling us where the kingdom of heaven can be found? Yeshua said, it's not in the outside world. And he was very, very specific about that. He said, you won't find it on the horizon. You won't find it out there where the sun rises or the sun sets or where the parties are. You won't find it out there. The kingdom of heaven is within, he said. It's within. So is it possible that our Heavenly Father is using drastic measures to get us into the kingdom of heaven? Because that is essential for the survival of our world. And he's nailing the board down. He's nailing the board down so we can't argue with it by making it all about survival issues.
Yes,
my friends, it is a survival issue to find the kingdom of heaven within. It really is. It is a survival issue. And those who have gone through the issues of the world more successfully found the kingdom of heaven within. And that doesn't mean the external world was pleasurable to them. Oh, my gosh. Look at the life of Mother Teresa. She lived a very, very hard life. And at times when she would get captured in the external world, stuck in the problems, in the gutters of India, oh my gosh, she would literally go into a dark night of the soul. If you read her diaries, you'll see it's not all about sweetness and light. But she would find her way out of the gutter outside, which had become festering. A gutter. You can actually bring the gutter outside inside. You can. My friends, you can take the gutters outside inside. And that's why the grandson of Elvis Presley took his life. He had brought the outside gutter inside. Almost everybody who has taken their life brought the outside gutter inside. So be very, very careful about that.
Wow.
And I would dare to say that many, a very large percentage of serious illnesses have occurred because somebody took the outside gutter inside.
Mm.
Okay?
Wow.
Whether in the form of stress or struggle, deprivation, discouragement, or just apathy to the point that they didn't care anymore, and they abused themselves.
Yes.
You know, you can take the outside gutter inside if you're not very careful. But even if you do, I want to remind you that the kingdom of heaven, which is in your sacred heart, is surrounded by a sacred light that no one can enter but you.
Oh,
wow. No one but you can get in. And Yeshua actually discusses this in the last chapter of Love Without End, where he's talking about the limited power of the ego. Yes, the ego is very highly equipped with competitive strength. It's good at competing because it wants to be the best. And it wants to actually defeat everyone else in the environment and prove that I'm me and I'm the best and this is who I am. And people who get caught up in that level of competition can get stuck with an ego identity. And this is the tragic turn of events that happens to so many celebrities because they got there through the external competition of the ego. And then they lost their ability to be who they really are. And the ego cannot get into the inner sanctum. It just can't. The inner sanctum is kind of like, well, just to use a worldly example, kind of like Fort Knox, which has already photographed the iris of your eye, okay, and your pulse and your fingerprints, and you've got to use three or four methods of identity to prove that you are who you are, because if you're not qualified, you don't get in. Well, the Sacred Heart was there with you from the moment you were created in the womb by God. And this is said in the book of Jeremiah. I knew you even before you were created, and I was there with you in the womb to start your life. And I named you. I named you. How's that? Okay. And that's inside the womb. And that's where your sacred heart created the cocoon around itself and brought itself out into the world. Now, little children know this, and they go in and out frequently to the sacred heart. Frequently. Because they haven't built up an ego yet. They haven't built up this identity that would be rejected by the Sacred Heart. And this is why Yeshua gave this advice to everyone. Be like a child so that you can get into the kingdom of heaven. Be like a little kid. And he wasn't talking about a 12-year-old being a brat. He was talking about a little kid, you know, a 3-4-year-old kid, the kind of little kid that just comes up to anybody and gets on their knee and says whatever they feel. That kind of little kid. That's what he was talking about. And it's not because you're supposed to be silly and childish. It's because you're really you when you're there. Now, there's a way that you can get there and still be an adult and even be competitive once you master it. once you master it. And I'm going to let this be my presentation for the day. And when I'm finished, Jean Marie, I'll open your line. I'm sorry that I asked you to wait, but this kind of requires continuity of thought. There are those who fought fiercely for their people, and yet they stayed in the Sacred Heart. Mother Teresa is a good transitional example because she could get caught up in her ego. She could get caught up in, I've got important work to do. Now, give me the money. And this work deserves the money more than that deserves the money. And she would fight with the Pope even. She, a feisty little thing. But she eventually learned that that was not the best way to get it done. And she really did not like going into these dark nights of the soul. So she learned. She learned how to surrender. And before it was all over, she could be in the presence of anyone. And they could look in her eyes and be transformed for a lifetime. I love the testimony that Princess Diana gave about her meeting of Mother Teresa. She said, I met her and my life was changed forever. Forever. I knew then who I really am. And it was right after that that Princess Diana began to redesign her life. It's kind of a tragedy that it ended the way it did, but she got to be who she really was before it was all over. Now, staying in the countryside of India, let's look at the life of Mahatma Gandhi. He started his life out as an attorney, and he went there to fight for the people. And he was a very competitive little dude, but he saw instantly the pitfall of the ego, and he built an ashram, and he told his wife and his family and his closest friends, I have to live a life within the spirit. I am retiring from the world, but I will still fight for you. And he did. He learned how to fight in a different way. And before it was all over, he suffered these long, long days of starvation to prove his point that I will starve if my people are starving. Let my people go. Now, that was competition. It just wasn't competing from the ego. It was holding true to your strength and letting God and the Holy Spirit do your fighting for you. Okay? Now, we see the same thing in the Dalai Lama. Look at what he went through, driven out of China, driven out of his homeland, driven out of the ancient temple, his people in a state of hardship, survival challenge that many of them did not survive, and yet he had to find the strength to hold his people together and to hold a position for their belief and their tradition in the world. And I would say that he's one of the strongest competitive men in the world, but he doesn't do it through ego. He surrendered and he let the strength of God do his fighting for him. And bringing us up to the pinnacle of the high point in history, the apostle said to Yeshua, my Lord, with all your strength, why don't you just fight the soldiers? Why don't you just fight them? Show them who you are. You could blow them down with your hot breath. Have them laying on the road, flat down, facing into their defeated humility. And Yeshua said, no, my friends, that's not the way to do it. Now, he did not want to die. He really didn't. He prayed a prayer of salvation. He prayed till his sweat was blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And his father said, no, my son, let me do your fighting for you. And Yeshua surrendered. But he didn't surrender into weakness. Can you imagine the strength that he had to summon up within himself to take on the arrest, the beating, the harassment, the questioning, and then a cross that probably weighed? I really can't imagine how much it weighed, but probably at least 200 pounds. And he had to carry it up the hill until he just fell from the weight of it after everything he had been through, after everything, until somebody picked it up. And then he lived for hours on the cross until sunset was approaching, and they had to kill him by puncturing his liver. Can you imagine the amount of strength that was there? But instead of fighting, he said, oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's over. I'm done. Take my life. And they killed him. But that's also, my friend, competition. It's just competing the right way. You see, you can compete. You can compete. And it's called endurance in faith. The strength of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Poor Van Gogh just couldn't tolerate the discouragement anymore, and he did take the dark night of his soul inside. But he never stopped loving or believing in his work. He never, never stopped. And in the 20th century, his paintings have sold for more than any other painting in history. I can only imagine the strength it took him against all that darkness to keep on painting. And look at the light and the color in his work. Oh, Lord, there's just never been an artist that brought more color and light to a work of art. And they beam off the walls. I went once to see a solo exhibition of his work. I thought somebody had turned the headlights on in the room. But, of course, I was seeing more than just the light from the painting. I was seeing the light within. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. And I want to say to you, the light within you is amazing. Just turn it on. And even if occasionally you take the dark valley inside, just know that it has no power. Let it just fall to sleep and fall away as you turn the headlights of your faith on. And let the headlights of your faith beam brightly and brighter than anything the world has ever seen. Okay, Well, Jean Marie, you are on. Hello, dear.
Hi, Glenda, everybody. No, I didn't mind waiting at all. Good stuff today. Hey, didn't Mother Teresa and Diane die on the same day? Seems like I recall that. But
well,
anyway,
Mother Teresa died within hours, but it was on technically a different day. It was very, very close.
Anyway, three things regarding the comet. It can be seen in the northwest sky, and after sunset, this is central I'm talking about, and it is, I'm told, below the bottom star of the Big Dipper's bucket, the Dipper's bucket. It's right below that. For reference, I live with too many trees around, and anyway, that's what I'm told. Northwestern sky, right below the Dipper. Bottom.
And you can see it right now. And you can see it right now.
Yes, I'm told.
I mean, not right now, but I mean, okay.
Yes,
but at night.
Yes.
Once it's nighttime. Okay.
Yeah, after sunset. And yes, my friends here in town. The sky was clear enough that they would be able to see it. So it's not maybe really like close as Tony was talking, but as like it'll be on the 22nd, 23rd. But anyway, that's that. And next is a friend of mine, Ed Johnson, is in Medford, Oregon today, and he is going to be having surgery on not one, but both shoulders. He just got there, and they're going to be making all the arrangements for that. So I just ask blessings that it all go well, all goes well, that he gets with the right medical people, and it goes well for him.
Good.
And number three is I need
this
a car.
This is number four. You need a car. Okay.
Yeah. I need a car. I am finally facing that. But, yeah, my little 97 Skylark is not reliable and it has to be something reliable and affordable. But anyway, it's finally not being reliable. It only has like 289,000 miles. I mean, what could good go wrong?
And a good car.
Oh, gosh, it owes me nothing. But anyway, that's what I am having to look at now is that. And that's all.
Okay. Okay. Well, all your blessings are on my list. And
they're on the way.
And they're on the way. They are indeed.
And
okay,
already,
my dear. And
thank you.
And God bless you. All right. Andrew, you are on.
Hi. This is Candace Boyer. This is probably one of the first times I've come
Candace.
On. Hi. I want to say, first of all, I'm so grateful to my friend Maura for introducing me to you, Glenda, and to the Blessing Givers and your books, because I've learned so much and have grown, I believe, and have it's given me a lot of peace. And so I want to thank you guys. And then I want to ask for some blessings for my son, Camry, who I'm with in Hawaii, and he suffered a major depression, and it's just tough going. And it was interesting, like so often happens when I listen to your call, which I try to do regularly. You have a message just for me, and as you did today again about suicide and bringing the outside in. So just some blessings for him. He's just having such a tough time. And I came over here charging on my way horse thinking I was going to fix everything, but, you know, I found out I couldn't.
Yeah. Well, he's on the list, and we pray that he will just sidestep a little bit over to where he can slip into the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, like he has to give up his resistance, like you said, right? Yes, yes. Well, that's all. Thank you, Glenda. I don't want to take up any more, and thank everybody else. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, you're welcome, and blessings to you. And Stormy, you're here at the end in a wonderful way, so welcome.
Yes, Glenda. In my life as a world-class athlete early in life, and boxing was one of the things I was so good at, I never let anyone hit me. And the reason for this is I wasn't in a competition. I was there to compliment.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, and that's a fierce competition, boxing. And when I had someone in front of me, I was there to compliment, not compete. That's sort of the next step, isn't it?
It is.
Instead of competing, to compliment. And I've practiced this, and today I just thought, well, you know, my father always, you know, well, you want to be first in running. No, I don't need to be first. I'm there to run my race as a compliment.
Uh-huh.
I just thought that I wanted to add that into an equation of getting beyond.
I like that.
You completely doing away with it. There is no competition. It is a compliment.
Only the ego has that. But you know, the thing is, being really good at anything can inspire others to also be good. And that's where it becomes a compliment.
Yes, what a nice gift that I gave to myself early in life, not to compete, but to compliment. And that's what I do with my music. And you know, and you and I have known each other for such a long time that we've been able to compliment each other in many ways.
Yeah, we do. We do. For sure. Okay, Stormy, well, let's just get on with our blessing then. You've given us a great additional way to look at surrender and how to step outside our competitive. I think one of the reasons I wanted to bring up these great heroic examples is because it really is easy to step outside the competitive strides we can get into in the world by just realizing that we're not here to compete. We're just here to be the best we can be, to enjoy life in the best we can, and we can just step outside that without losing ground. I think a lot of people are afraid to stop competing for fear that they'll be overtaken and they'll lose ground. So they get stuck in it. It becomes almost like an addiction. And then when it doesn't work, they become depressed. But you can just sidestep it by just becoming the compliment, as you said, Stormy. So that's a good additional offering.
Yeah,
everybody.
We become a compliment. Yeah. To God's grace.
Exactly. That's great. Okay, everybody. I think it's time. We just went on in our blessing. And okay. I'm just searching around here a little bit. Okay. Everybody, just relax. Those of you who are new to the blessing or haven't been here for a while, just remember, you don't have to do anything except receive. And sometimes receiving is a bigger thing than you might realize because we do have our defenses built up. One of them is, but I want to do it myself. Another one is, yeah, but I only want to receive what I want. I don't want to receive something else. Another is, I want to make sure this is really going to get the job done. I don't want to receive something that other people wouldn't want me to have. We've got a lot of defenses, my friend. We start building those defenses up by the time we're a year old. And fortunately, they're not really serious defenses till we get up to about our teens. And that's part of what the terrible teens are all about, is trying to get along with other people and dealing with their defenses and your defenses, and how do we get through it and how do we all have fun together? Well, okay, it's a big job, and you take that job on for the rest of your life, and you wonder why you don't have more blessings. Well, in order to get the blessings through, you got to open the doors and the windows to let the blessings in. Okay? Let them in. Now, these blessings are going to flow by the energy of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, and from the love of Christ. And it's going to flow as an energetic wave. Actually, the whole universe is energetic on different frequencies. This is a very high frequency. And it's a frequency that is tuned especially to you, which is why you need to be in prayer to reinforce that frequency being attuned to you. This is the main reason why we have to ask for what we want. Not because God doesn't already know what we need, but for you to ask tunes your receptors to the blessing and prayer receiving. Sometimes it's good to make out even a workflow plan, because it takes a lot to open your doors and windows so that you're ready to receive. God is always ready to give. You're just not always ready to receive. And it takes sometimes a lot of work to get there, but you can get started this time today by just relaxing, lowering your defenses, and by all means, putting your mind over on the park bench. Your mind can't figure out what you need. It can't figure out the plan. And it's probably going to get in the way if it possibly can. Okay. Because it wants to be more important than anything else. So, just relax. Don't even think about who you are or how you have to defend who you are, because chances are better than 50-50. That's going to have something to do with your ego. And that will block out the blessings of God as well. Another thing you don't want to happen is for the energy to cross over, because it's going to come in two waves, right and left. It's going to flow down in two waves from the cosmos into the earth, join together in the earth and flow back up through you, and cross over again in the heart. And that's where you want it to cross over, but it, you want it to cross over naturally by the love of Christ. Not because your body parts are crossing it over, okay? Just let it cross over naturally and flow right back up. And then right back down again, crossing over in the heart into the earth, coming back, crossing over in the heart, flowing back to the heavens. And this will happen many times in the few minutes of the blessing. I will say a prayer to Yeshua. You will say a prayer yourself. And then the blessing givers, and while the blessing givers and I are conducting the energy. So your prayer is a very important part of it. It doesn't have to be with words. It could be a song. It could be silence. It could be just a feeling. It could be a visualization. It could be an expectation, a hope. It could be your prayer of gratitude. Anything that connects you with God is prayer. Okay. Let us begin. And blessing givers, will you join me standing? Dear Yeshua, our brother, our friend, and the Son of God, first of all, we thank you for your eternal love that has been with us since our beginning and all through our life, that has been with us since the beginning of creation and throughout all of existence. We pray that your kingdom come on earth and that it may come through us, through our union with the kingdom of heaven within. We ask that you take us there. We ask that you be with the children now, that they may be in the kingdom of heaven, that they can see in their own special way and bring the world to its knees, that it may rejoice in heavenly potential. We pray that you be with those who pray and let them know that their prayers are heard and their prayers are being answered. So to have the faith of receiving, the faith of giving praise, knowing that the prayers will come, we ask that you be with the lonely, that they are not alone. We ask that you be with the troubled, that their troubles will end in peaceful surrender. We ask for your goodness to be revealed place by place by place upon the world, that a hurting world may begin to heal. We ask to be with you now. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin the conveyance. Your blessing has been given. Amen. Now, go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Be in a state of complete silence and surrender. Don't even continue your prayer. Just be. Just be there. Be open, receiving. As the love that you are. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week.